Welcome to the Adrift on the Sea that is the Internet with No Name podcast, episode number 7. Today we're discussing the question, is Mike Gillis a freaking genius?
She hitched a ride up from Frisco. I picked her up.
Hey everybody, yes, it's July, which of course means everybody in Vancouver is talking about hockey. That's right. Happy Canada Day also means Happy Free Agent Day. And we're going to be talking quite a bit about the splash that Mr. Mike Gillis has made. Well, I guess we could talk about everything since the draft last week. My name is Jason Carillo. I'm your host. I'm here with my friend Chris Withers.
Hi, Jason. Been a fun few days, hasn't it?
The thing that people were talking about was not really Canada Day, or even the HST, the dreaded HST.
Damn you, Gordon Campbell.
Gordon Campbell, Stephen Harper, you can do unspeakable things to each other. Just stop doing them to us. But let's get out of politics and go straight on to the genius that is Mike Gillis.
Who knew? Former player agent, everyone said, wow, he doesn't have the chops to make it as a GM. And here he is making savvy move after savvy move.
And may I say, Chris, Mike Gillis is a man with the radioist of faces.
He's not an attractive person.
He is not and a good
looking
man.
You know what? Let's be completely honest here. He's got a pretty good voice for radio too. He's way down here. He just kind of talks like this.
That said, however, I think he did crack a couple of smiles in his press conference on July 1st.
Because, as he should have.
Because we could conceivably call him the GM of the year so far.
I think so. I think he has made the biggest splash both in free agency and arguably at the draft, too.
At the draft, of course, he got a hold of Mr. Keith Ballard, a stay-at-home defenseman who everyone in Vancouver has been saying we needed.
Yes. Yeah, and Ballard, a little undersized, a little bit on the small side. There's some debate, Jason, about whether we overpaid for him. Those of you out there who've been with this podcast since we started know that our personal opinion is that Steve Bernier is a turd. And
we're allowed to say that again because he's no longer a Canuck.
I still stand by that, as I know you do.
Certainly, and I will stand by that, although I'm sure he's a very nice man in his personal life. On the ice, he's been very turdy.
And on those grounds alone, the Canucks could be seen to come out of this deal ahead. But Michael Grabner is, I think, someone who's going to score 30 goals in the NHL.
Frankly, this was not a Bernier for Ballard move. This was a Grabner for Ballard move. And the Panthers were forced to take Bernier off the Canucks' hands. Honestly.
That's an interesting take, yeah.
I think that this was a case where the Panthers wanted an exciting, fast, young, prospective forward. Grabner was not going to get the kind of ice time that he needs here. Potentially will score 30 goals in Florida.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of forwards out there who will potentially score 30 goals. Keith Ballard for Michael Grabner is a good swap for the Canucks. And we have dumped $2+ million from the payroll that we were paying to Steve Bernier.
And the Canucks are going to get on YouTube because Keith Ballard has an amazing propensity to have really ridiculous bloopers show up on the internet.
Okay, now wait a minute. One time the guy accidentally clips Vokoun with a stick after a goal scored against them. One time the guy's on YouTube. What the hell are you talking about?
Like, he threw the puck into his own net last year.
You don't
remember that? The puck went up in the air and he put it short side onto his own goalie while facing down the ice. He basically tried to bat it and ended up scooping it behind him and put it short side on Thomas Vokoun.
All right. Well, frankly, this is a guy who was a defensive standout on a really crappy team. So you bring him here and shore up that back end. He's worth $4+ million.
He's going to be good. He's going to be good.
Now, the thing that I wonder is, because we got another $4+ million a year defenseman just yesterday. This is an outstanding pickup by Mike Gillis. Everybody in the league wanted Dan Hamhuis from Nashville. This is one of the best young defense. He's under 30 years old. He signs a long-term contract in Vancouver. I'm excited about this.
Good BC lad. Some people said that he was maybe the number three defenseman on Nashville, but I mean, that's getting overshadowed by some pretty strong company in Shea Weber.
Shea Weber, I can't really name anybody who would be a number one over Shea Weber.
No, maybe Doughty, but that's about
maybe it. Maybe Drew Doughty. Yeah. Even then, it's really a toss-up. I mean, Shea Weber was a standout with Team Canada, as was Doughty. This is a pretty outstanding company to be in. It's not a shame to be behind that guy on the depth chart.
I'm not sure if Vancouver is becoming a more attractive... What the reason is that Vancouver is becoming a more attractive destination. Is Gillis that good? Because, I mean, you look at... I guess it was 2 years ago now. First thing he did, pretty much, brings in Matt Sundin, the premier free agent on the market.
And I think you agree with me somewhat that Sundin had a really bad reputation built out of that half season he didn't play. The fact is Sundin really helped the Sedins up their game.
Yeah.
And he was the best player in the playoffs for the Canucks. He was a point-a-game guy against the Blackhawks, one of the only guys to do that. And he made everyone on the Canucks a better player. I was sad he didn't come back for a second season.
It would have been nice. Just, I think you might have made this point to me a long time ago, just to pay respect to the fans who went out and bought his shirt in Canucks colors.
For example.
But yeah, he was a guy that you had to pay attention to.
Yes, Sundin came. Hamhuis came because he's from Smithers, right?
I think that was a factor.
Manny Malhotra comes to town from San Jose. Now, he was born in Mississauga, Ontario, but his wife...
Jenny Nash, Steve Nash's sister, who is hot.
Okay.
The Canucks wife hotness level just went up significantly.
Up. This is a guy who comes to town. He obviously knows the area, being married to a girl from BC.
Yep.
This is an upgrade in the third line center department.
I think so, yeah.
As sad as I am to see Wellwood go, I like Kyle Wellwood a lot, actually. Malhotra is an upgrade.
I like Kyle Wellwood, and then I don't like Kyle Wellwood. He goes through such horrendous long slumps, and he does it on such a regular basis. I know he's a playoff performer. I know he does well when you get into May. But during the regular season, he's just so up and down.
I really think that Kyle Wellwood needs some kind of motivation.
Thought you were going to go for a diet, but...
And this is another thing. I think the Kyle Wellwood is fat jokes are not only boring and lazy, but they're inappropriate.
Especially coming from me.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that because I'm not too far behind you, man. But Kyle Wellwood came into camp, okay, a little bit overweight. We've had lots of that in the league. We've had lots of that in Vancouver. Vladimir Krutov came in and literally ate... His way off the roster.
Yeah.
We had Shane O'Brien just last year. Gained a whole bunch of weight over the Olympic break. And Kyle Wellwood, frankly, got better and better and better and better on and off the ice as the season went along. And in the playoffs, he was the best Canuck. 2 years running. I think,
that,
honestly,
you know what?
If
that's,
I were... If
that's
I were,
a reflection on the rest of the Canucks and the skill of the Blackhawks, not on Kyle Wellwood.
I don't agree. I think Kyle Wellwood plays when it matters. And frankly, a November game against the LA Kings doesn't matter that much.
You know what? That's ridiculous.
It's really hard to get up for 82 games.
It matters precisely as much as a game at the end of April. Ask the New York Rangers whether a game in November matters.
I'm sorry, but if Kyle Wellwood were regularly playing on a line with Henrik and Daniel Sedin, he would put up 80 points. And he would set those two up for very nice goals.
Didn't he get a chance with the Sedins? I thought he did.
Only for a game or two.
All right.
He's not a flashy player, but he can stick handle in a freaking phone booth. He is so gifted when it comes to seeing the ice. And the problem is, Kyle Wellwood's skill set is so natural and instinctual that he doesn't look like he's trying. And he doesn't need to try, really, to do what he does. That's the problem.
And yet he doesn't produce for long stretches of time.
He's playing on a line with Tanner Glass, booting the puck every time he gets near the net. He's playing on lines with Steve Bernier, who, you know, given 10 shots with the puck in the crease, he's going to score 3 times without a goalie.
He was playing with Grabner quite a bit.
Grabner only scored a very low number of goals.
But he was an offensive player.
Who was green and nervous.
Kyle Wellwood should have been able to set up for more than he scored.
I just think that Kyle Wellwood has gotten a raw deal from a lot of people. I like this guy. I would like to see him come back.
There's no place for him now.
So Mike Gillis has gotten a lot of top players now for his defense. We've got literally 10 defensemen who could put up significant minutes.
Well, that would be if Mitchell decides to come back at a discount. Yeah,
which he probably would. I mean, he loves playing in BC.
It's possible. He's going to have to talk to his family about that. The severity of his concussion is going to probably prevent him from coming back and playing at a really high level.
So we're definitely going to see some more deals over the summer. A lot of people are screaming for Bieksa to move. $3.75 million a year for a sixth or seventh defenseman. That means we've got one hell of a depth chart in the back end.
Yeah, and they've got their top six and their goalie both locked up.
Erhoff, Edler, Salo, Hamhuis, Ballard, Shane O'Brien, who has been given a qualifying offer but might go to arbitration. Andrew Alberts. Rome.
With the depth ahead of him now. And last year, there were a good number of injuries. Alberts was forced to play way too high on the chart. The best thing about Hamhuis and Ballard is the amount of games that they play. I think they've missed like 18 games in 10 seasons between them or something ridiculous like that.
With an injury-plagued D, where we look at guys like Sammy Salo, Kevin Bieksa missing chunks of two seasons.
Yeah, now I just hope that it's not some sort of curse on General Motors Place that Hamhuis and Ballard are both going to get some bizarre injury. And
the only time will tell. Yeah. Only time will tell. We also got two fringe players. We got Jeff Tambellini, also a local boy. The most he's ever scored is 15 points in 65 games. He's 26 years old. He was a first rounder, actually. He was taken 27th overall by the LA Kings 7 years ago. He's played most of his time with the New York Islanders. Not really a steady guy. Probably going to spend a lot of time with the Moose.
I would think he's going to play in Manitoba a lot, but
he's a possible fourth liner.
Something that's been sadly lacking for the Canucks is a decent guy to call up when someone goes down. Right? You know, if we have someone with proven NHL experience and who's not either 35 like Mike Keane or unproven like Evan Oberg to call up, I think that'll only benefit the Canucks.
We've also got a new fellow, Joel Perreault. He hasn't played a full season. The most points he's gotten was 17 points.
Yeah, he looks like pretty much the perennial call-up player. 17 points that was in
49 games in 07-08. He's 27 years old. He could round into a fourth liner, or he could be just some depth, some insurance.
Yeah, but you look around the league. Canucks made the biggest splash.
And the Canucks now, frankly, are the deepest team on the back end, and they've got a solid top seven forwards. If you count Yannick Hansen, a solid top eight.
Yeah, and look at their goaltending. I mean, even if Luongo gets hurt, you know, Corey Schneider is a former USA under-20 player.
Mike Gillis has put together a really nice team.
Yeah.
Now he's got a little bit of time between now and October to, you know, swap out a couple of those D guys for a couple of bottom six forwards, because it's those bottom six forwards that we need to solidify to get us into the kind of situation that Philadelphia and Chicago were in this year, that Detroit has been in for years, that Pittsburgh has been in for years.
Yeah. Looking forward, just with what they've got right now, the Canucks are turning into one of those teams that reloads instead of rebuilds.
We're going to come back to this later in the summer.
Yes.
But I want you to think about this, my friend.
Okay.
In the spring, when the Canucks lost, you were in a bit of a funk, you're in a bit of a bad mood, and you said you need to suck for a few years before you can win. I want you to look at what Mike Gillis did this year, and I want you to come back in about 8 weeks, and I want you to prove that to me, because I'm looking at what Mike Gillis has built right now, and I don't think that's true.
I hope I'm wrong. You know, the Canucks have started the last couple of years with really solid top six defensemen. And they've been picked to come out of the West and even take the cup by a lot of big-name pundits out there. And it hasn't happened. Whether the Canucks have the really, really top-end talent at all positions to win the cup, it remains to be seen. We don't have a Duncan Keith and a Brent Seabrook. You know, we've got six really solid defensemen.
So do we not have a number one defenseman then? You think we have six number three defensemen?
Yeah, that's the way it looks to me. I think we've got like six, that maybe a couple of them. I think maybe Hamhuis and Erhoff could play on the top two on various teams. Salo, hit and miss because of his injuries.
Because of his injuries. Edler, too soon to tell.
Too soon to tell.
If he plays the way he did in the first round against the LA Kings,
yeah,
he's a top two defenseman.
Yes. Ballard, undersized. You know, top to bottom, really, really strong.
Ballard is the shutdown guy we've been looking for since Mitchell got hit.
Okay. I hope so.
If Mitchell comes back for $1 million a year, we win the cup with this core. I'm predicting it right now. If Mitchell comes back healthy, but he takes a million a year because of his concussion, with this defense and with Roberto Luongo playing well, we win the cup.
Yeah. Now, do you think Roberto Luongo is going to refine his form?
I do.
Now that Rolly Melanson is a full-time coach?
I don't know if it's going to be from Rolly. We're going to talk about Rolly in a future podcast. I think Roberto Luongo comes back with a solid D in front of him. We win the cup.
I'm not planning the parade route just yet. I'm not going to be that Canuck fan.
I'm not planning a parade because when we win the cup, I'm going to be drunk at home for a long time. Either that or I'll be in jail, one or the other.
You're going to be in jail.
I'll just say that, yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'm not saying. I'm not saying, but it does have something to do with Patrick Kane's mullet.
I'm excited. I think Gillis went out and made the biggest splash in the last week and a half. Hopefully it all comes together for him this year.
Okay, that's all we got for today. We are going to come back next week with our thoughts about the other free agent signings around the league. And hopefully you'll join us. Chris, you got anything else?
I got nothing right now.
Okay, so the usual then.
The usual.
Awesome. Happy Canada Day, everybody. And let's just count down the days until training camp.
Thanks, Chris. Someone couch in the lane. I heard the drunken voices dragging on some old refrain. But I'm climbing, I'm climbing back on the train. I can explain if you'll just let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon. I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, I'll see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main. But I'm alright, it's just a red wine. It's all too normal now. When once it seems so strange, time for a change. Construction crane and I'm tearing up the rules to the game. Now the moon's on the wane, I'm feeling slightly more sane. I'm riding shotgun with my stuntman and we're ready for fame. But I'm losing my grip on the reins. It's all too normal now, and once it seems so strange, time for change.
I'm not planning a parade because when we win the cup, I'm going to be drunk at home for a long time. Either that or I'll be in jail, one or the other.